Hello, and welcome to this episode of That's What She Said, in which I am probably the most vulnerable I've ever been because I have to tell you about people that help me and then I send emergency emails to, it's just one person, and how I'm like, oh God, everything is broken, the world is ending. And then 5 minutes later, Allison Monday of Tiny Blue Orange emails to be like, I took care of it, it's fine. And I'm like, oh my God, like often you get all caps like, you are a miracle. That's my response so much of the time. So I thought, if you're like, oh my God, I have to do all my website stuff myself and I hate it, I don't understand a thing about hosting or technical anything at all whatsoever, and you need a person, I thought I would introduce you to my person and then have her on to talk. So hi, Allison, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for kind of bringing me out from behind the computer screen and letting me talk about all of the things that I love to do to help people like you run their business and make magic in the world.
Yeah, and you're a complete anomaly to me because I'm like, I don't understand how anyone could find this interesting ever. This is like the worst.
That's fair. That is absolutely fair.
Right, but it's in that lovely way where like I'm so grateful that you love this stuff because if everyone was like me and was like, the world would not go on. So thank you for doing what you do. And how did you get into the world of like tech and hosting and plugins and WordPress and all of those things? How did you, and you can just go as far back as you want.
So it all started when, I lovingly joke that I am like the perfect combo of my parents. My mother is an accountant and my father is an architect. And so I grew up with him like doodling on napkins, but obviously he still has to have a very like math-based mind. And then my mother being the accountant is very much that like nerdy brain. So even though I was going down the route of graphic design, that's what my college degree is in, I had that like nerd in me. It just took a hot minute for it to come out. So in high school and college, I dated a programmer and, you know, we bonded over things like WordPress. Yes, all the way back in high school. I've been working with it for a very long time. I started working with it as a way to, you know, blog and express myself and show my creativity and my poetry and all of those good things. But then, you know, I needed to learn how to work with the plugins because it was just a hobby, so I wasn't going to be paying someone to do it. And he helped me, and through that nerdiness, just realized that, oh, I actually really like this. This is a lot of fun. And it started growing when all of my designer friends in school and out of school were like, I hate everything that is code. I don't know what I'm doing. I feel so limited. I can't design the way that I want to design. You know, all of those things were really common for the more creative brain folks. And I was like, hey, I can help with that. Hey, I can help with that. And I just learned that as much as I love design, I love taking that lingo and helping those that speak it so well interpret it into code. And so making those beautiful designs work, I love super nerdy things like fine-tuning a site to make it run even faster, but still look as beautiful as the designer designed it. So just little things like that. So, yeah, it definitely didn't start out as like, hey, I was 3 and I was coding. I got there. I definitely got there, and I've loved every minute since.
Yeah, and we've done things that I would never, ever, ever take the time to do, even if I was like, I literally have nothing to do for the next 6 years. I'd be like, I don't have time for this. Things like, let's make your images load faster. Let's get your website to cache faster. Let's lower your bounce rate. And we have, like, my bounce rate has gone down by an absurd number because of these things and tweaks that, like, I'm all about doing it myself until I'm not, and then that's why.
Exactly. Well, yeah, and it's right. It's just fine-tuning, and it's one of those things where you might not realize how much you know, those nerdy things like bounce rate or image load really have an impact on how your site visitors feel. Let's be honest, like if they're like, this is taking way too long to load, I'm bored, moving on. Just increasing it even by 1 second can make that big of a difference. Absolutely.
It's crazy, crazy. So I, in the interest of all of my listeners, asked Allison to come up with, like, here are the three things almost everyone does wrong. And so instead of feeling bad about it, you can be like, no, almost everyone does it wrong. So you're just included in the majority there. kind of walk through, like, what these sort of, not necessarily basic, but the things that are really important to your website that you might not have considered, and then you can super nerd through the whole thing. So what is the first thing you would say that almost everyone...
Yeah, and like you said, like, let's normalize this. Like, let's be honest. Like, I've done this stuff wrong, too. Like, this is not, like... This is so common. You're not a terrible business owner for not thinking of these things, right? Like, we do the best we can with the information that we have. This is really just information for folks to make those improvements, or say, I don't want to make those improvements. I want someone else to help me. But just know, right, like, we're just increasing your knowledge base so that you can do better and do more with your business. The first thing that I see so many times, whether it's folks that come to me with an existing site or folks that are like, hey, I need a new site, is that they overwhelm their site visitors out of the box. And I get it. You get so excited. You're like, I have these services. I have these products. I have all of these things to offer to everyone, and I really want to help them. But if you give folks too much to do, they're not going to do anything. They're going to get overwhelmed and they're not going to make a decision. And what that looks like on your site is clicking through to a new page or deciding this is the service that I need help with, or I came to this site because I needed to read some blog posts. So looking at your website as a whole, as a big picture, setting goals first really helps with that. So understanding, like, is it that you want folks to sign up for your mailing list? Is it that you want folks to fill out your contact form so that you can schedule a consult with them and talk to them about what you do? Is it that you want to sell a product? You know, typically you'd want them to sign up for your mailing list so that you can, you know, nurture that relationship and then sell a product. But those are sorts of the goals that you can set, and whatever that looks like for you. And then once you have those goals, you can look at each page individually and set it up to help you with that goal. And it helps to kind of eliminate the feeling of, like, I need to throw the kitchen sink at this site. Like, I have to have all of the shiny bells and whistles, when you realize, hey, those bells and whistles are actually hurting the goals that I want to accomplish. So it kind of helps you edit, tear down, or whatever that looks like. On the flip side of that, there are pages that you might have that actually don't have any actions for your customers or clients or leads to complete at all. And so those kind of become those dead ends. And super common dead end is a thank you page, right? So let's say someone fills out your opt-in form, they sign up, and the next thing they get is a thank you page. And these are great, and they might just say thank you. And then that's it. And what is that person supposed to do once they're done? And so then going back and looking at those goals, maybe it's that you want to introduce the idea of your digital product or a service that you offer. Or maybe it's a little bit more simple than that and you want to say, okay, they signed up. Let's make sure we're connected elsewhere so that we can interact a little bit more. So I'm going to put, hey, follow me on Instagram, which is how you and I got connected in the world, is following each other on Instagram. So just looking at, okay, these pages might have 17 tasks for somebody to complete, and that's going to be overwhelming. And, hey, this page doesn't have any links or any instructions whatsoever. So maybe I can add something that will tie back to those goals and help me accomplish them and help me help more people in the world.
Yeah, cool. And do you, when you say set goals for your site, do you set goals for your site personally? And can you give us some examples of what it looks like for you personally to do this?
Yeah, such a good question. I do. And I apologize. Oh, my God. Sorry. There we go. I do set goals for my site, and one of my friends and I, we have this saying. It's not one that we invented, but the cobbler's children have no shoes. So, right, like, as a website manager, I can be guilty of letting my website kind of fall by the wayside. So I try to check in. I try to set these goals maybe once or twice a year and make revisions based on how my business is operating. And so for me this year, it has been a huge focus on getting people to understand that I host WordPress websites and I do this work to help them, like the maintenance and the daily and weekly and monthly stuff that people really don't get lit up doing. That's the kind of stuff that lights me up and my team. So really trying to focus on getting that information out in the world. And then the other goal that I had set was not so much growing my email list, which I know most of us want to grow our email list, but it was more about fine-tuning it and making sure that the people getting my nerd alert, is what I call them, my nerd alert weekly emails, were the people that really needed that information and really needed those, like, WordPress how-tos and tutorials, and were the type of people that wanted to do it themselves but really just didn't know how to do it. So it's been about, like, changing languaging to make sure that they understand what they're signing up for, showing an example newsletter, you know, making those sorts of moments crystal clear so that I'm getting the right people so that I can get the information out to who needs it.
Yeah, I love it. Cool. And the nerd alerts, will you tell the fine people where they can get it? Because even if they're like, I have $0, you can't. Okay. Put your email in the box.
Right? Yeah, so if you go to tinyblorange.com, I have the sign-ups, let's be clear, everywhere. But you can also go to tinyblorange.com/nerd-alert, and what that'll do is it'll show the latest blog post, and then you can sign up there to get more information. And basically what I do is on my blog I publish tutorials every week. So here's how to make your WordPress site better. Here's how to integrate WordPress with other things. And then the Nerd Alert folks get extra goodies and make sure that they have, like, a little bit more than what the blog shows. So an additional tutorial or something that might help them with that. So, yeah, check it out. Seriously, we have so much fun. I love when folks email me and let me know, hey, I implemented this, or hey, I did this to my site and it totally worked, thank you. Or even if folks have questions, I love being able to email back and forth with them and make sure everyone is set up and their WordPress site is running the way that they need it to run.
Yeah.
And doing work for them. Yeah.
And you can also follow her on Instagram like I do, which is tinyblueorange.
Yeah.
So follow that.
Yes. Exactly. Okay, and the link, so, right? I'm going to be super. Yeah, no, the link in that bio on Instagram, it goes right to that page that I mentioned. So that can be a really easy way to get there.
That's what I was getting around to. See that? You just, boom. Great minds thinking alike right there.
Okay. Nailed it. Yeah.
So we're basically crushing it. That was number one, giving your site visitors way too many choices or no choices at all. So number two, what's the mistake that everyone that is not a perfect angel in business makes?
I love it. So this is like my second biggest passion in life is helping other business owners get their website to be their own employee. Right. So making your website do work for you instead of working against you. And what I'm talking about with this is your website can be a powerhouse for collecting data for you, and it can become sort of what you might pay a VA to do, and not, like, let's be clear, I have a VA, I love VAs, VAs do amazing work. I feel like some people don't realize that their site can do some of the components that they're having a VA do, which would then open that up to their VA can do even more work that a website wouldn't be able to do for them. So getting into that, one of my favorite things is setting up really fun intake forms for clients. So if you're selling a product, this might not necessarily apply. This is more like service-based. But a lot of people, right, like go through that, okay, someone is interested in my services. Now I have to send them this like workbook that I have to wait for them to fill out, and oh crap, they didn't fill it out all the way. And so then I have to get clarification on that. And right, like it just turns into like this 17 emails back and forth, and no one loves that. Whereas if you set up a form on your site to get all of that information, you can set up those form fields to be required so that people can't skip over them. And then what could happen is, once you fill out that, or once your lead fills out that form, your thank you page could be a link to your calendar. So instead of saying, okay, I got your form, thanks so much, here's how to book a call with me, they are going through that process without you having to do a thing, right? So you're getting the questionnaire that is filled out, emailed to you, or saved on your site, however you want it set up. And then the very next thing that the person is doing is they're looking at your calendar to make sure that they can book a call with you. And so that could be set up through something like Acuity or Calendly or, you know, any of those other, like you book me, you can book me, stuff like that. But you can embed those right into your WordPress site. And so if a potential customer fills out that questionnaire at midnight, then they can book a call with you right away instead of waiting for you to get into the office and emailing them at 9 the next morning and then waiting to hear back from them and da-da-da. So that's one of those things where it can be really nice to have your site do the work for you and save you from, like, even more emails, because I don't know about you. I just, like, the more streamlined I can make the email process, the better, especially when talking about new clients or people that are interested in working with me. And so then kind of on the opposite end of that, or this works for services or product-based folks, is I know I'm going to say it. I'm sure people are going to be like, ooh, Google Analytics. So I know people are like, it's overwhelming, right? Like, I don't know what to look at. I log into the dashboard.
Google Analytics.
Right? I log into the dashboard.
Take a moment.
Stuff everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah,
I
like
get
let's
it.
Just all have a moment because Google Analytics is the worst.
But it's free.
Yeah.
So free, which is like our second favorite F word. So the thing with Google Analytics, right? Yeah. I totally get it. Like, it's totally overwhelming. I don't love it. But let's be clear, if you know what you're looking for, it's great, because then you drill into what you need to see and you can ignore all of the other garbage. And I'm not saying that data is garbage. Let's be clear. I love garbage. I love data. I love garbage. Freudian slip? No. So I love the data, but it can be so overwhelming and it can be too much, right? Like we talked about that. Google Analytics can be too much for you. So knowing what you need to look for and like putting on the blinders and focusing on that is going to be huge for any business owner. And so not to like keep being like, hey, I've talked about this, but I have a blog series that I'm working on. I have two posts on it called Know Your Numbers, and it's just about what you need to know in Google Analytics. And so some of the ones that I really recommend for a lot of my customers to look at are the top content. So what pages, blog posts, whatever content you're providing, what is getting looked at the most? Because what that does for you as a business owner is that tells you what content you can make more of and that will be received well, what content your audience needs more of and that they're finding that. You can also take some of that with a grain of salt and say like, oh, like Huffington Post featured this and it linked to this exact article, so of course it got a crap ton of traffic and it's the top post. Okay, we're going to make a little note of that and then we're going to look at the next 9 top posts and see how they compare, see if that content is similar, see if there's trends with that. The other two terms that I love talking to my customers about is bounce rate and exit rate. So exit rate is a little bit easier to understand. Exit rate is if people leave your site off of that page specifically. And so what we're looking at with exit rate, if you want to kind of drill into like, okay, how can I make my site work better? Do you want people leaving your site from the page that they're leaving your site from? If it's a thank you page, yeah, that's probably okay. Sure, we would love people to stay on our site forever and ever and ever and ever, but let's be honest, they have to go back to their work, whatever they were working on, or somewhere else. So if they exit after signing up for your opt-in, you've done your part. That's a pretty good page to have a high exit rate on. If they're exiting your site from the homepage or a services page and not getting through to the contact page or a blog post, you know, then you can start to look at, do I have too many choices on these pages with high exit rates? Is the information not clear? You know, you can start to kind of analyze what's going on to cause people to leave that page. You know, a perfect example would be like a blog post. Do you have an opt-in at the end of your blog post to get people to sign up, or a message saying like, hey, let's work together, contact me, and linking to your contact page? So how can you get folks to do something after they read that content and say like, hey, I love this content, I want more of it? So then the other one that I mentioned was bounce rate. And so bounce rate is similar to exit in that they're leaving your site, but it's that they landed on a page and left on the same page. So they didn't click through anything, right? So they like loaded your page from Google or from a Pinterest link or something, and they left it. They didn't try to like look around and see what was going on. So bounce rate, you can look at and ask similar questions that you asked on the exit rate. But with bounce rate, it's good to know too where people are coming from and what content they're landing on. So if they're landing on a blog post and leaving from that blog post, it might mean that that content didn't apply to them or didn't answer their question. So then it's a matter of what kind of Google searches am I ranking high for? Am I using the right keywords? Are these blog posts answering the questions that I'm trying to get them to answer? So having that information on your site and through your Google Analytics dashboard helps you as a business owner make these decisions, or, right, finding someone on your team and saying, like, okay, my copy is not getting people to run through the site. Like, I need a copywriter to help me with that. Or I need to record better videos to keep people engaged. You know, however you deliver content in the world and however you want to reach your audience, knowing what they're doing on your site and how they're behaving is going to help you to make more of the content that they're loving and that they're soaking up, and to fix the places where they're getting lost on your site or the places that they're leaving your site from because it's not doing what it should be doing for them.
That was a lot of information that was super helpful.
I know.
And now I have things to think about. Can I,
right,
because I feel like my people need a minute. There's going to be a lot of shame around,
please,
like, okay, but Allison, when you say, do you have an opt-in at the end of every blog post? Like, I don't even know how to implement the,
right,
magical opt-in form situation. And so,
right,
like, can we talk about how, like,
yeah,
and there's no need to freak out or shame yourself if you're like, opt-in, you lose me.
Yeah, no. And that's such a good point because, again, like I didn't have an opt-in on my site for a while because I didn't feel like what I was saying mattered, right? So owning the fact that we all are experts in our fields and we are putting out some great stuff and people need to hear about it. So at least that's what I did. Like, don't hide behind your site and say, like, oh, no one would want to sign up for my newsletter anyways. If that's the concern, like, please know that we all have some very important stuff to talk about. So when I say, you know, an opt-in at the end of your blog post, a lot of themes might have this built in. There are plugins out there. I'm kind of drawing a blank on some of the names. One of my favorite plugins for people who have blog content is Pop-Up Ally. I'm not an affiliate, you know, not a referral. I've used it on so many client sites and I love it. It can make it a pop-up, so an actual pop-up, or they have an embed option, so you can like literally put the opt-in code right at the end of all blog posts. So it's not just a pop-up plugin. But basically what it is, you know, thinking about how people are ingesting your content and going through your site. So they've read this blog post, if they've gotten to the end of it, whether it's typed or a video that they're watching and they've gotten through it and they've consumed all of it, chances are they're interested in more like it. And so what a lot of folks will do at the end of a blog post is they'll have that form to sign up for a newsletter because, hey, they've read all the way down. They probably like what I'm talking about. And so then the opt-in can say, like, want more content like this or want to know when a new article is released or, you know, whatever the languaging might look like for you. And then you can collect their name and their email address, and then you can email them when you publish a new blog post or – you know, you could get right, we could get super nerdy and have like keywords and targets and say like, oh, they signed up on a blog post related to marketing. So they're really interested in marketing. So I'm going to make sure to send them updates when I release a blog post about marketing, that kind of thing. So yeah, it's just one of those things where it's thinking, right, thinking back to, again, how your site visitors are using your site. I'm sure we could talk tons about the frustrations that people feel with pop-ups and landing on a site and a pop-up appearing 2 seconds later. They work. People sign up. They do get people to sign up. But I know for some business owners, it's, I want people to get to know the content before I give them a pop-up. So then it's, okay, set your pop-up to show up after 30 seconds or longer. Or they have what are called exit intent pop-ups, which means that as a mouse, right, so this is how computers are taking over the world. As a mouse approaches the top of the website where the URL bar is, where they are more likely to say type in Facebook.com and leave your site, as that mouse gets up there, then the pop-up is triggered. So they were going to leave your site. So you're likely not going to piss them off by saying, hey, you forgot to sign up. So it's just things like that where you think about what you like to do when you're on a website, how you like to be treated, and do similar things on your site.
Yeah, and can I also, I might be ruining your life, but Google Analytics basically does the same thing, only GoSquared makes it pretty. So I totally pay for GoSquared.com because it makes everything, it basically does the same fucking thing as Google Analytics, but everything is pretty, so I can actually absorb it instead of being like, oh God, it's so ugly, I don't care.
Exactly, and for sure, like, I know some people that use GoSquared and love it. I think it's a great product. I just know that people can get overwhelmed with, right, another thing to pay for. I get it. So, yeah, if you want to go the free route and get your feet wet, like, do Google Analytics. But, yeah, GoSquared is awesome, and it's much more visually appealing to look at, for sure.
Because I've found that sometimes it isn't that it's tech that it bothers me. It's sometimes that it's hideous that it bothers me. And if you just take the same information and make it beautiful, I'm totally down with whatever it is that I need to absorb.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, like Google Analytics, it's basically a spreadsheet. And unless you're like me, you don't love looking at spreadsheets. So for sure, you know, pick what's going to like sing to your spirit and get you excited about it. One of the things that I've been trying to set up for more and more clients is Google Analytics can actually email reports to you automatically based on whatever you need to know. And so I've been creating these charts 4 clients that go out every week or every month based on what it is. And so that way they're not even looking at their dashboard. They're literally getting a PDF of like this pretty chart with lines of like, hey, here's the spike in traffic, or here's the search terms that people were looking at. So it's a little bit more enjoyable to see. But yeah, GoSquared is an awesome alternative. The other one that I recommend, which is a little bit better, it's not as intense as Google Analytics or GoSquared in that it doesn't have as much information. But if you're a WordPress user, Jetpack, which is a plugin that's developed by the team that builds WordPress. So it's a really good plugin. They also have site stats built into that plugin. So then you can access those right in your WordPress dashboard, and you don't have to go to a site that makes you cringe when you log into it.
So. Amazing. Look at that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then that's the first two things that basically everyone does wrong, mm-hmm. and we cringe and yell and scream and don't want to do, and I'm with you. Again, this yep. is my expert person, and I'm like, please take advantage of her and give her all your dollars. And then what is number three?
Number three, okay, so you can totally, like, reel me in. I'll be honest. I have a serious soapbox for this. This is something that means a lot to me, and I wish it meant a lot to other people. And I'll be clear, I get it. I get why it's not exciting to talk about, but it's super important to your business. And that is not taking security serious enough, or thinking that you are too small to get hacked. So I'll just tell a quick story to kind of explain why this is such a passion of mine. My very first client was a really good friend. I was moonlighting, right? So I had the day job. This was the side hustle. She knew that I knew how to do this stuff, asked me for help. So I joined her team, helped her build her e-commerce website, had so much fun doing it, did all of the coding, all of the theming. I was also helped, like I added in products, like I did photography, like, right, we were like a two-woman team and just did so much work to get the site up and running.
And oh, God, that's just terrible foreshadowing.
Right? Like, she got hacked. She lost everything, everything. Her hosting company was supposed to be running backups. They weren't. All of it was gone. All of the work. Right, like I had saved photos, she had saved the descriptions of the products in Word, but like, let's be honest, we had to go in and do all of the work over again. It was horrible. I felt so bad. I felt so bad for my client. Like, it was just a really shitty situation. I will say the plus side is she had insurance that helped cover that loss. Because she was running an online business, she had gotten insurance specific to that. So it did help cover the cost, but it took us time to do. And her site was down for that time, which means she's losing business. So I say that and to explain, like, I never want anybody else to feel the way that she felt or the way that I felt ever again, because it was awful. It was so awful. So ever since, and it was my first client, so ever since I have been on this crusade to help people understand security, how to do it, and why it's important for their business. And so it's one of those things where it might just cost you a couple $100 if you get hacked to fix, or it could cost you tens of thousands of dollars, depending on what you're losing and depending on how much damage is done. So it's not something to scoff at. We all put so much work into our websites and our businesses, and to lose all of that in an instant just is heartbreaking. So, like, not to be all doom and gloom, because I really don't want to be that way. The other is that, and I kind of mentioned this, that thinking you won't get hacked is kind of the wrong mentality to have. So a lot of us use hosting companies that put a bunch of websites onto one server. And the server is basically the computer where all of your files live and that gets dished out to the internet. So there's a lot of sites on a single server, and that is what makes it affordable, right? So, like, I'm especially talking about those companies that are, like, $5 to $10 a month for hosting. You are hanging out with a lot of people on one server. Your site is only as strong in security as the weakest link on that server, because if somebody hacks in and gets access to the server, they have access to all of it. So it's not so much that, like, hey, I'm small potatoes, I only get 100 site visits a month, I'm not at risk for getting hacked. Don't think that way, because it's not just about you, it's about who you're sharing space with, and you have really no control over that. So, all of that to say, I'm going to give you three things that will help secure your website and keep you from being in that really, really shitty situation, because it really can be simple and it doesn't have to be this, like, crazy overwhelming thing. So the first thing is the most important, in my humble opinion, is using a secure username and a secure password for everything. So what that means is, for WordPress, not using admin as your login. If that's your login, that's fine. It's what WordPress creates by default. But what that means is that hackers know what to try first when they want to hack into your site. So they're like, hey, WordPress, cool. They likely have admin as a username. So just get rid of that account, create a new one with a secure username, and I'm not talking, like, security meaning, like, it has to be 54 random characters. It can be something as simple as, right, like, oh, God, Allison, why did you tell me to do this? No, I don't remember my username.
Like, DRPSS11- and you're never going to remember it again.
I'm not here to make your life miserable. It can simply be something like, I love avocados, or, Paris 2018, make it something that you like typing, make it something that you remember, and you can use special characters, so you can use your email address, things like that. So just make it something other than admin. That's really all I'm asking. And then secure password, it can be, you can take that same idea of a phrase that you really like typing, and you can change letters to numbers to make it a little bit more secure. Or you can do a password vault, which is something like 1Password or LastPass that will store all of your passwords for you. And then that way you can make it kind of that crazy 54-digit password and just never have to remember it. Just making stuff a little bit more secure. And the nice thing about WordPress is it has that little password strength chart. So as it gets more secure, it changes from, like, orange to yellow to green. So just make sure that your password falls in that green color and you're good to go. But the same is true for anybody who has an account on your website. So it's a perfect time, we can call this summer cleaning, of saying, like, hey, everybody that has a login, right? So that could be your VA. It could be your copy editor. It could be someone like me. Whoever you have with an account that's like an administrator account, just shoot an email and say, hey, everybody, I need you all to change your passwords this week. Make sure it's secure. Make sure it's that green color when you type it in, and then we'll all be good to go. So it's just it's good practice. To have those secure passwords. So that'll protect you from getting someone breaking into your site through the login screen. Then the second thing, so that's super quick. I know passwords aren't fun, but trust me, it's super quick and it'll keep you safe. The second thing that is huge is backups. So like I had mentioned, we thought that our hosting company was doing backups for that client, and they weren't. Other things can happen where your server could be doing backups, and maybe your site doesn't get hacked. Maybe the server literally just blows up, right? Like, computers fail. Things happen. Typically, hosting companies worth their grain in salt will have a backup server running. But sometimes just bad things happen. So running a backup of your site keeping a copy on your computer or keeping a copy on your Amazon S3 account or, you know, whatever you may have, or Dropbox. And just doing that so that you know if something really tragic happens, you don't have to start from scratch. You could get a version of your site, maybe it's a week old or maybe it's a month old. You could get that back up and running in an hour versus it's going to take me weeks to figure out who's going to help me and how to get this back up and running. So just something like a backup is going to be huge for you. So that could be Backup Buddy is a big plugin. That's not a free plugin, but it's a good one. One of the free ones that I like using is called BackWP Up, and so that WP stands for WordPress. But there's a bunch of them, so just figuring out what plugin works best for you and just run that backup. And maybe you set a reminder for yourself to run it every month or every quarter. Both the two that I mentioned actually have a scheduler, so they will run automatically for you. So that goes back to that letting the site do the work for you so you don't have to think about it. And I just say backup about as often as you add new content. So if you post weekly, you know, you might want to do weekly or every 2 weeks. If you post monthly, you could do every month or every quarter. Just so that way, you know, worst case scenario, you might lose a single blog post. That is so much more manageable than losing, right, like an archive of 200 of that. So just to go back, because again, I care a lot about this, right? So it's secure your username and your password, then back your site up. And then the last thing, and you probably saw this coming from the story that I told, is using secure hosting. So using a company that actually gives a shit about security will help you keep your business up and running. And so going back to, I mentioned in my goal, one of my goals was that I provide hosting services and getting people to understand that I do that. So I partner with a company called Flywheel, and they are amazing, and they work only with WordPress sites, and they care a lot about security, which is why I partnered with them. So my favorite thing about them is that if your site is ever hacked, they will fix it for free and in a heartbeat for you. That is huge. There are so many companies out there looking to make money off of people that have been hacked. And not to shame them, because I've done site cleanups as well. My time is worth money, right? So if I'm doing work for you, I should be cleaning it up. But there are sites that will target websites that have a spam comment. So a spam comment is not that you've been hacked. It's just that somebody left a comment and it's spammy. There are companies that will target folks with that and say, "Ooh, you have weaknesses on your site, and I need to come in and clear them up." No, you're good. Secure your username and your password. Delete that spam comment. Get your site backed up, and you're good. But finding a host company that will do the backups for you, that you know the backups are actually running, that will look out for you and fix things if you are ever hacked, that will check your site without you asking them to for any malware, any garbage that a hacker might try to pop in, those sorts of things, that's going to really do you the most service, is having kind of a security guard on your team to make sure that your site doesn't end up in that terrible situation of it all going to shit and getting lost into the ether because somebody was bored and decided to hack a server and delete everything. I know it's not out of boredom that they do it, but I don't understand why people hack websites just for shit and grins.
I love that it can be really simple. You can change your username and password.
Yeah.
You can get backups. And doing a backup from your WordPress site within it is totally free, like tools,
yep.
Backup, like it's kind of...
yep.
Actually, like, I feel so proud of myself because I host with Flywheel, and I have backups regularly scheduled, and I do not have admin as my username. Like, I feel like I'm winning life right now.
You are. And seriously, it is that simple. And like I said, if admin is your username, don't panic. Like, that's what WordPress does. Like, if you set up WordPress, that's how they set it up. Just go in, create a new user, and then delete the one that has admin. So that's the only bummer, is you can't edit your username, but you can edit your password. So if your password is like, change me, or 12345, just log into your user account and edit your profile, and you'll see like change password right there. So you could change your password in 2 minutes, including the time it takes you to log into your website.
Amazing. I love so much that you care so deeply about these things, and like there's such a sense of like, I'm going to take care of this for you, instead of like, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're useless, you're worthless, and you don't know this, you should have done this already. Like, that you do this all without shame and like making people feel so dumb for not knowing or not having done it yet, which is one of my favorite things about you. So,
yeah, oh, thank you. And seriously, like, that part of the reason I share that story is like, I care so much about security because it happened to me. You know, it happened to a client of mine. I didn't know to look out for this stuff, and so now that I do, I've kind of gotten on this crusade of helping everyone else, because it's just, it's terrible to be like, to get a text from a friend or get a tag on Twitter from a client that says, hey, did you know your site's down? That's awful. Like, nobody right? Nobody likes to be told by somebody else that their site has been hacked, especially a customer or somebody that might have been a customer. So just looking out for these things, it gives me the good feelings of being able to help protect other people from that terrible situation.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful and delightful. And then, so if people want to get in on the goods, it's tinyblueorange.com. And can you tell me where that name came from, just because?
Yeah, no, this is a fun story. So I have this obsession of things in threes. And so I knew I wanted my business name to have three words. And I'm huge into color. I'm a very visual person, so I'm huge into color. So, like, when I trained for my first half marathon, I had the color red, and all of my training clothes and my shoes were red, and I dyed my hair red. So that was, like, my cue that it was running time. So my favorite color used to be blue, and I always wanted to compliment the businesses that I worked with. I never wanted to come in and, like, take over and be like, this is how we do things. I always wanted to come in and fit into their team and feel like I was one of the team members all along. So I picked blue and orange because they are complementary colors. And I'll tell you, orange has taken over and it's my favorite color now. And then for my third word, I picked tiny because I always knew even if I grew a team, I would be a small company. That was just really important to me. So to give my clients that understanding of like, hey, like, we'll fit into your team, we'll adapt to what you do, and we're not this like big gorilla that's going to come and take over and tell you how to do things and boss you around. And I really dug the way that Tiny Blue Orange sounded. So yeah, that's where the name came from.
Amazing. And I love it. And then can we shift gears for just a moment and talk about you as a human and not as an expert genius?
Yeah. I'm so guilty of being like, I am Tiny Blue Orange personified. So this is good.
Yeah. No, you're a genius. That's been established. We're totally cool. Just in the last couple of minutes here, can you talk about following you on Instagram? I've noticed, like, sometimes you talk about some things that are like having migraines and what that's doing and dealing with a chronic health condition. And so can you talk just a little bit more about how that affects you every day and kind of what you have to say to those that are going through chronic pain, which I do not have. And so this, you have the floor.
Yeah, no. In April of 2014, I had a migraine. Migraines have been something that's affected me my whole life, but I would maybe get about 5 a year, so they were very manageable. They're not fun, they suck, but they were manageable. I got my migraine, And typically what happens with my migraines, you know, everybody's migraines are different, but typically what happens with mine is that I would get what's called a rebound headache. So the migraine, the like sharp stabbing ice picks behind the eyes, that sort of pain would go away and dull. But there's like this lingering tension headache, or rebound headache that kind of followed. Normally I would get that for 1 or 2 days after and we're good. I realized that I had had that rebound headache for 9 days and thought, okay, no, something's wrong. Went into urgent care, tried to get treatment. Long story short, up until my last treatment, which was just a few weeks ago, I had had migraine level pain or a headache pain for every single day for the last 3+ years.
Oh my God.
I say that up until, yeah, it's pretty rough. I will not lie. It sucks. So we're on the right track. I just got treatment, where basically they numb the nerves in my skull. And for the first day, I had a day without pain and it was a miracle. And I enjoyed every second of that time. It was just awesome. I skipped out of work early. I just loved life that day. So, but it has been a big challenge to wake up in the morning and go, all right, can I work today? Can I look at a computer screen today? Or is my pain so bad that I can't do what I need to do to help my clients and to pay my mortgage? So it has been, because I didn't know what chronic pain was prior to all of this, and it has been a huge learning experience, and it has been a journey of, I've tried to take it as a journey of learning, but I'll be honest, it has been very challenging at times and very difficult at times, to say the least. So, but in all of that, it has opened me up to realize that I am not alone. And so if anybody out there listening is dealing with pain, I want you to understand that you are not alone. I've learned that this self-employment entrepreneurial lifestyle can actually attract folks with chronic pain and chronic illness, because we do have the flexibility to set our own schedule. I posted about it on Instagram, and the comments were just nonstop of people saying, you know, my pain doesn't keep me from working, but working on the couch is so much more comfortable, and I couldn't find a job that would let me do that, so I work for myself. Or, you know, I can't work in long spurts, so working for myself has afforded me the ability to work for 1 hour and then take 1 to 2 to 3 hours off and then work for another hour. So realizing that there is this community of folks dealing with chronic pain, chronic illness, or even just, you know, migraines or whatever the pain might be, and maybe it's not chronic, maybe it's not every day, but taking the freedom and flexibility that you get when you own your own company to help make their lifestyle better so that they can take care of themselves. And it's just one of those things where I called and because this treatment worked, I'm going to actually have surgery to make it more permanent. And I knew in my heart that the first available appointment they would give me, I would be able to take because I set my hours and I can say, hey, I'm out of the office this day. So they were actually able to schedule the procedure for 1 week after they called me, and that's coming up next week. So it's just one of those things where it can be a really good blessing, but it can be isolating working for yourself, and so you can be working from the couch or, you know, quote-unquote calling in sick, and you're still alone in your house or your office or wherever you are. So just I've learned, and I want to share with others, that you are not alone, and even if it's a post on Instagram or even if it's reaching out in a Facebook group or whatever the case might be, there are so many of us out here in the world, you know, trying to do the best that we can with what we've got. And sometimes that looks like chronic pain or chronic illness. And we're figuring it out, but we are not alone. Not at all.
Yeah. Do you have any resources or any place that you specifically go to share the chronic migraine types? Because that's a specific, very specific thing that I have several clients that are dealing with right now.
Yeah, actually, so I found that the hashtag, right, we talk about Instagram, but I love Instagram so much. I found that starting to use the hashtag chronic pain warrior, or migraines, has actually connected me with a number of people around the world who also have chronic pain and migraines. And so, like, we'll comment on each other's stuff or, you know, send each other messages on Instagram. And that has been huge for me. The other thing was I joined, and this, you know, it's specific to your area, but the pain clinic is what they call them here in Wisconsin, and I would imagine they would be named similarly across the state. But the pain clinic locally does group therapy sessions, and that was actually huge for me to join, in that my fiance loves me, my family loves me, right? But they don't understand. They do not get it. Being in a room full of people who knew what it was like was really life-changing for me. So finding that resource was huge, absolutely.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Cool. And then I think the last question, at least, is that you started out making websites because you wanted to share your creative things and your poems, and you were like, you just went right by that. So I just wanted to make sure I heard that.
Yeah.
And be like, you write poems?
Yeah. So that's my jam. I was definitely like the teenage poet writing poems about broken hearts and boys and what have you. And through history of, you know, we don't have to get into this and probably won't, but through history of sexual abuse, it definitely was my outlet and helped me process a lot of things. I've been writing poetry ever since I was 12 years old, I think. And it is something that I've always come back to. And, yeah, I really don't share it in the tiny blue-orange realm, but it's something that I share personally, like on my personal Facebook page and stuff like that. It's a good outlet for me. It's one of the creative ways of expressing myself that I really fall back to, even if I forget about it, right? Like, we all have those things of like, oh, I forgot how much I love this. Poetry can be that for me. So I might not write for 6 months, and then I'll write and go, oh, I needed this. Thank you for existing, poetry and notebook and pen.
That's amazing. That's such a good tidbit of like rounding out like the human in you to be like, yes, she does know all about the things in the Google Analytics. But it's not all bad, people. Come on now.
Right? I'm not just a giant nerd.
I'm totally okay with you being a nerd. That's not the I just know that people shut down when they're like, secure hosting. Oh, my God. I would rather do anything else than talk about secure hosting.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We can talk about anything other than that, right? We can talk about yoga or dogs or parrots. So,
yes, or the ever-evolving color of Allison's hair, which is amazing and wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I just want to do the whole, like, okay, so if someone wants to find you and they have absolutely $0, they go to tinyblueorange.com/nerd-alert, then get on your email list.
Yep.
If somebody's like,
yep,
Allison, take care of this hosting thing for me because I have no idea, but I don't want to get hacked. Next step.
Yeah, so tinyblueorange.com/contact is going to be the best bet, because then you can get in touch with myself or Erin. Erin is usually the one manning the contact form. She's amazing, and I love her to pieces. And so she'll get us connected so that way we can talk about the best way to secure your site. It might be the secure hosting. It might be that we go in and do a security audit and just help you out, that sort of thing. And the other I want to add, I know I don't want to overwhelm, right, but I want to add, I do have a free quiz for people to see what their security level is. So it's literally tinyblorange.com/quiz. And that is totally free. You get your results for free. You have the option to opt in, but seriously, I care so much about security that I put this out there. So you just answer a few questions to know where your security weak points are on your site.
Awesome. But I know my people, and they're going to be like, yeah, the whole thing is fucked. So what do I do?
So, yeah. Then just reach out, right? Like, you reach out to me on Instagram. You can reach out to me on Instagram. You can reach out to me via email, contact@tinyblueorange.com. Just tiny blue orange on the internet is me. So whether that's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or email or the website, just find tiny blue orange and we will help you for sure. We love doing it.
Yeah. So all my people who are like, I can't possibly handle these things, but I know they need to be handled. You have your person now.
Yeah.
You're welcome. She's lovely. Yeah. You've heard all of this, right? She's lovely. Go, 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 go.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything else that you wish I would have asked, you wish you could tell people, or you're like, yeah, Kristen, you totally blew through that, and I really wanted you to, like, take a moment and let that sink in. Anything at all?
No, I don't want to overwhelm. I can't stress enough, though, that, like, if you have questions, please reach out. I can't say it enough. I really can't, that I love when people shoot me questions on social media or send me an email. If it's something that I can answer in a minute, I will do that. I will link you to a blog post, whether it's mine or somebody else's, that is helpful. It is my goal in life to get people to not feel overwhelmed by their websites, whether that's me helping and doing the work or whether that's pointing you in the right direction to get you where you need to go. So don't be afraid, right? I think we talked about this just briefly before we started, is you're not going to annoy me. You're not going to upset me. You're not going to be bothering me. Like, I am here to serve people using WordPress websites. So that's what I want to be doing, and I love enough. Like, ask for your questions and your concerns. So please send them to me.
Yes. Yeah, no, we do need to talk about that just for a second, because, like, I pay her dollars, and I'm one of her clients, and I'm still like, oh, gosh, she's going to think I'm so stupid. I couldn't figure this out. And then I take a deep breath, and I send the email, and then she responds instantaneously, practically, or to me, because I check my email once a day. And it's not a big deal, and it's taken care of, and it's not, she's never like, you are a stupid fucking moron, and I can't even continue with you because you are too dumb so whatever it is, she can take care of it, and I enjoy so much that you've never once made me feel like stupid or terrible or dumb or awful, or, because we've all had that experience of like, I don't understand, I don't know what my T-square SR11 form is. And you're like, oh, well, of course not. Why would you know about the T-square SR11 form? It's not a problem.
Right. No, yeah, and please, like, that was me dealing with my IRS 941 form last week of, like, calling my accountant. My accountant was that person for me of, like, I don't know what this is. So, yeah, we all have that, whatever. It might be tech, it might be accounting, it might be whatever. But, yeah, I understand what it's like to not know the answer. So if I have the answer for you, I am here for you, and I will help you for sure.
Excellent. So everybody head to tinyblueorange.com, and I'm gonna leave you there, and I'll check you next week on the podcast, everybody.
Thank you so much.